today on Real Radio.
All is well in the kingdom of God. But God, I don't have a job. And God says, yeah, it's really cool, isn't it? You're listening to me, you're crying out to me, and that's really cool. I'm going to show you how I lead in your life. I'm going to lead you right over here, and I'm going to put you in that job because I want this guy to hear about Jesus. And he can't hear about it from anybody else in all the world but you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Give Them Jesus, Part 1, continues in a series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 4 today, verses 12 through 17 and 20. How can we, who are sinful by nature, come to a God who is holy by nature? The only way to come to God is through His gospel of grace. Galatians 4, 12 through 20 is the most heartfelt scripture of grace that the Apostle Paul had ever written. For God promised His gospel of grace to all of mankind, a gospel that's eternal and will never fail. That's why Paul preached with such a passionate enthusiasm not to turn away from God's gospel by departing from its simple truths. Today, on day 3 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that whatever our problem or situation is, we're to give it to God. God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. Paul persevered in public through sickness and disease to speak on how we are to receive others in their trials and pain. And now continuing his lesson called Give Them Jesus, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The world has it right when you go to the theater and everybody's up higher than the stage. That's probably, if you've been to a college or a university lecture room, that's the right way to do it. This is kind of cockeyed. I should be the lowest one in here. The message that should be sent is, I'm here to serve you. And if I can't meet all the needs, I'm going to hire staff to help serve you. These Galatian perverse legalists came in and overthrew the ministry heart of Paul. And they began to lord over the people. Paul was a servant to the people, and they loved him for it at first. They loved him. Give them Jesus. Isn't that what Jesus was to us? Isn't that how he is in the scripture? If we're going to give them Jesus, it begins with our personal witness, and that personal witness will become public. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. Philippians 3, 4 says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, Paul says, if anyone else thinks that he has confidence in the flesh more than me, I more so, I was circumcised on the eighth day. Everyone would go, ooh, wow. I'm the stock of Israel. Woo! You can hear the golfer's clap beginning. Nice little gentle clap at first that's going to turn into a roar in a moment. He says, of the tribe of Benjamin, wow, this guy, he's got the credentials. Woo, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. People are now standing to their feet. Concerning the law, yes, the law. I was a Pharisee. Woo-hoo, he was a Pharisee. Look at this guy. Cameras are starting to go off. Poof, poof, poof. Concerning zeal, I persecuted the church. Somebody make a poster of Paul. Paul the persecutor. Concerning righteousness, blameless. The crowd's going crazy now. What things I counted to me as gain? Yes, that's what we want to do, Paul. He says, I counted all those things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but rubbish that I may gain Christ. I love the word in the Greek. I count them but rubbish. Some of your old Bibles might even have the word in the footnotes, dung. You know what dung is? I count them. They're going, oh, yes. We want to be like Paul. We want to be like Paul. Paul goes, yeah, you know what? What? Tell us more. It's all a bunch of bandini. What? Your righteousness, your glories, your achievements? Paul says, it's zero. The greatest thing in life is to know Christ. Give them Jesus. The world needs Jesus. And Paul says, I've counted it but manure. that they might know Christ. Over and over again, Paul challenged his listeners to know God privately. Undeniable will your life be if you know him privately. The power of a testimony of your life is so incredible. Tell people about God and what difference he's made in your life. Verse 14 tells us also that our life's events will reveal who we really are. It says, and my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject. Circle the words despise or reject because they speak of a public, gross, observable illness. You did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ. Simply this, and off we go. Our life's events declare to people what we're really made of. I don't know what news you heard this week. If you didn't hear any news this week, it may be next week. But when that news comes that you lost your child or you lost your dad, you lost your job or you lost a friend, how do you handle the events of life? Christian, listen up and take heart. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8 that all things work together for good to those who love God. Do you? To those who are called according to his purposes. You know what's going on in your life? The very things God wants you to go on or have go on in your life so that he, through your private life, might publicly influence people for him. I'm not going to name any names, but I know a brother, you do too, who lost his job. Good man, hard worker. Lost his job, was out of a job. We're all praying, God, find him a job, find him a job. And I'm thinking, who do I know that can hire him? Who do I know that can hire him? Well, you know what? God had a plan. Whatever God did privately in his life during those days of unemployment, that's between him and God. I don't know. It's not for me to know. But you know what? Without even approaching a company, that company approached him. Gave him a job so that he can witness to an Arab man that's his boss. Now that is a private life through life's circumstances with a public influence. Do you see that? God does this in our lives. And I don't know if you're sleeping right now, if you're awake. You will be reminded of this. I will too in my life. When the chips appear to be down, guess what? Thumbs are up. All is well in the kingdom of God. But God, I don't have a job. And God says, yeah, it's really cool, isn't it? You're listening to me. You're crying out to me. And that's really cool. I'm going to show you how I lead in your life. I'm going to lead you right over here. And I'm going to put you in that job because I want this guy to hear about Jesus. And he can't hear about it from anybody else in all the world but you. That is an awesome way to live. I hope you're living like that. Paul says, you didn't despise me and you didn't reject me. These words in the Greek speak of Paul's physical problem. It was a public offense. It was gross. Whatever it is, it was gross publicly. They could see it and they could observe it. So much so that most people apparently despised him and most rejected him. Wow. Look at verse 15. From verse 15, we learn this, that our life is to make a difference. And that difference, by the way, is for Jesus. He says, what then was the blessing you enjoyed? Listen, Paul came to them weak, and they were so happy to minister to him and bless him. They're excited. They're so sweet, these people. At least they were. They went kind of goofy. What was the blessing? You were so blessed before. Why? For I bear you witness that if possible, you guys would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Do you hear that? I can hardly see. There's pus connected to malaria. There's pus running down my face. I can hardly see. It stinks really bad. I had to squint all the time. Yet I preached in my weakness. Tired, sick, fever. I'm preaching because you know what? Not because I'm glutton for punishment or I got some product to sell at the end of the show. I want to give you Jesus. That was his motive, and they knew it. They could see that. Why does he live? What does he do with his life? What does he say? It's all, you know, they had to take his census. They must have gotten together and said, this guy lives for God. They couldn't deny it. And they said, you know what? This God he lives for? We want to have that kind of enthusiasm in our life. What are we living for but some stupid pagan gods, Zeus and Diana and Artemis and Jupiter? That's what they lived for. And then they heard about the living God. And this living God that Paul preached about was obviously living in Paul. And it intensified the truth by his sickness. If a man will preach to me about the forgiveness and the love of God when he's devastated, that's the man I want to listen to. Curse me if you'd like, but what has the God of heaven done for the Christian and for the Jew? Awesome things. So why would I curse you for that? Not that, but this. What has the God of Hinduism done for the Hindu? Look at their lives. What has the God of Islam done for the Muslim? Look at their lives and the cultures that they move into. Look what happens to those cultures. What has the God or the gods of the cults done for them? And then look at your God in the Bible and look what he's done for you. Everything. And you know what? If you and I lived in Tijuana, or if we lived in Bangladesh or Belize or somewhere where it's more than third world, less than third world, is he still not a great and awesome God? If you and I were imprisoned today for Jesus, is he not an awesome God? I listened to Dana Curry this week give her testimony about how when she was in Afghanistan under Taliban imprisonment, how there was a man with them as a Christian, and the man would be beaten severely every morning, nearly left for dead, and then they would let him recuperate during the course of the day, and before evening, they would beat him to the inch of his life again. And they did that over and over again every day. They did that to him. Beat him in the morning and beat him at night. And they would knock him unconscious. He knew the Lord Jesus. And she said, you know what? She said, that man, he was knocked unconscious, and he even looked forward to being knocked unconscious. He would have dreams about Jesus. And in one of his times, Jesus came to him and said, I don't remember his name, doesn't matter. Get up, get up. In his dream, the guy stood up. He was standing. Jesus opens the door to the prison. Let's go. All right, the guy walks out in his dream. Then the guy opens up the outer gate to the compound. I mean, Jesus opens the outer gate to the compound and says, come on. And the guy walks out. He gets outside of the prison and he wakes up. And guess where he is? Outside the prison. Just like the book of Acts with Peter. And now that man's lived to tell what God has done for him. I love that. Beaten, imprisoned, sick, wherever we might be. Can we all not confess this morning that as Paul was very weak and very sick, was he not powerful through God? Have we learned to embrace our weaknesses gladly? Listen, Christian, please, this is a big statement. Do we look at our ailments in this life, our sicknesses, our diseases, as just a nagging problem? Or have we come to give up? Oh, not to surrender, but to give up and give it to the Lord and let him be the governor of our lives completely. Christian, completely. That whatever your problem, whatever your situation is, to give it to him and say, God, I'm not going to let this thing bother me anymore. I don't care what it is. What is it in your life? Diabetes? Disease? Cancer? I look at my sister's life. She was not a Christian before she had cancer. She gets cancer, then she becomes a Christian. And she didn't know God before that. She's only known God with cancer. She was supposed to have been dead 6 years ago. She's still alive and alive well, I might add, being able to do anything she wants to do. Telling people about Jesus. She goes to her doctor. She says, it's the Lord. Loma Linda University says it must be the Lord. This is amazing. You should have been dead 6 years ago. What do you do with your situation in life? What is it? I'll end with this verse. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 12, 6. Paul says, for though I might desire to boast. Now, I'd like to boast. Paul's saying, oh, I'd like to boast. I will not be a fool, for I speak the truth. But I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be and hears from me. Christian, listen. Paul is saying this. I could talk about awesome things that God has done in my life and through my life, Paul's saying. But I'm not going to talk about those things because you know what? If I were to talk about them, they're so awesome that people would think I'm boasting. I love that. At least I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations given to me. God sent a thorn into my flesh, which was given unto me, a messenger of Satan to beat me, lest I might be exalted above measure. Verse 8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that he might take it away from me. But the Lord said back to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength, Paul, is made perfect in your weaknesses. Well, Paul says, therefore, most gladly then, I will rather boast in my sicknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my weaknesses, in my sicknesses, infirmities, and in my reproaches. When people refuse me, reject me, despise me, even beat me in my needs, even when I'm needy and I have need of something, in my persecutions, people attacking me for what I believe in distresses, difficulties of life. It's for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. Isn't that great? I tell you, if you're weak, this is a great thing. Next week, we'll pick this up in verse 14. But I want to leave with you something that I was hoping to say, and it ends here for me at the thought of handicapped, how we are handicapped, all of us. Paul persevered in his personal witness to those that he loved in his weakness. And I thought of the word handicap. I know a brother, you probably know him too. I don't know if he's here today. I don't mean to embarrass him if he is here. But he's been one of the longest Christian friends I've ever known in my life. Yesterday was my 25th Christian anniversary or birthday. And I've known him for probably 24 of those years. And he was shot in the back in Vietnam. Right before he came home. He did his time, got shot in the back in Vietnam and lost his legs. Many times on Sundays and Wednesdays, he'll come up here and he plays the keyboard for you. I mean, not for you, for the Lord. And if you ask him, you know, isn't it sad that God put you in that wheelchair? He'd say, absolutely not. He'll tell you, like he told me, I knew my life before I knew God. And if I wasn't in this wheelchair, I'd probably be in hell. God used this chair to get a hold of my life. And you know, for him to come to church, he's got to get up some 2 to 3 hours before he can ever be here. When you see him here on Sunday mornings, that group shows up at 6 o'clock to practice. Go figure, do the math. He just can't jump out of bed. Oh, that's awesome. You know what? I want to suggest to you, and I want to say this carefully, and I run the risk of being criticized. The truth of the matter is, anybody that God is really using for a lasting work, I don't know any of them who do not suffer from some sort of ailment that keeps them crawling to the throne of God. You want to know why? So that only God gets the glory. Listen, God healed me of severe stuttering. But you know what? I'm always struggling in my heart and my mind. It's a thing that Satan always uses right before I come up to speak. I'm going to make you stutter. And people will laugh at you like they did when you were a little kid. But my flesh, this world, and the enemy always says, Jack, before you go up there, you're going to stutter. And I got to tell you, God be the glory. I get to come up here with my brother Paul, and I come up here when Paul says, I came before you with trembling. You have no idea. See, Jack, you don't seem nervous. I'm telling you, it's God. It's God. And I don't know much, but I know I'm called, and I know that he's my power. But I got to tell you something. I would not trade these weaknesses for anything. Is it scary? You betcha. But you know what? Greater is he that's in me than that and he which is in the world. I know this. If God doesn't show up at this church, I am over. And I love living like that. We will see how much so this is in Paul's life as we pick this up next week. But this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ, then you're living this life in your own strength. And if no one's told you, let me be the first to tell you, you're weak with no strength. Rather, take your weakness to God and have his strength in your life. And it all begins with you telling him that you need him as your Lord and Savior. Confess your sins to him. Give your heart to him right where you're at right now. Father, we thank you for your word and for your power. And God, thank you that in these last days, with all the crazy stuff that's going on, people blowing themselves up, people trying to hijack tanker trucks to make a statement. Thank you, God. We don't have to hijack a tanker truck to make a statement. All we have to do is go outside and shout to the world, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Oh, man, that sets off a bomb. And the awesome thing is that truth will never die. That truth will never go away. That truth will only intensify. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray now for all of us who know you, that we would know you more in every situation and every aspect of our lives. And to those that are here this morning that do not know you, God, I pray that they wouldn't even be able to go to sleep tonight until they settle their eternal destination with you. That they would call upon you, the Savior of the world. For it is in that name we call upon, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a message called Give Them Jesus, Part 1. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you share with others God's love and his simple plan of salvation. Give Them Jesus, Part 1 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that brings to light our struggle between grace and good deeds, for we're justified through faith, and not of our works should any of us boast. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Today was day 3 of this lesson, and don't forget that you can pick up any of these days you might have missed at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Hey, did you know that Pastor Jack has a recommended book of the month every month? Specially selected books handpicked by Pastor Jack. These books are going to inspire you and help you grow in your walk with the Lord. Join the many Real Radio listeners who read the book of the month every month by going to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And then click the Home tab. That's Pastor Jack's Book of the Month, and that's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Check it out right away. Hey, here's a thought. Let's say you're in the doctor's office or you're waiting in your car for some reason. You've got a little bit of time to kill. Here's an idea. Go to your app store and download the Real Life app. What a great way to spend a few minutes or a few hours. Check in with everything that is Real Radio on a daily basis. Go to your app store and download the Real Life app. Or you can click through our website if you'd like. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Get that Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. We'd love to have you join us as often as you can. By the way, if you have a question about anything you might have heard on the radio today, head over to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and hit the Contact tab. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org and hit the Contact tab. We would love to put you in contact with somebody who can help you out with your question. It's not a problem at all. Just get a hold of us, hit the Contact tab at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.